thought as Brother Chris was testifying, you know, I am thankful for the life God's given me. I'm thankful for His goodness. But there are times when this Christian life is a struggle. Amen? There's times when it's a struggle. This Christian's life is not without difficulties and hard places. That living this Christian life is not always easy. Amen? I mean, as wonderful as it is, there are times it's a struggle, times it's not easy. There's battles to fight. As Brother Chad mentioned, there's evil all around us. I mean, there's some things that are repulsive, but there's some things that play and do affect us. Amen? There's battles with our own self. There's oftentimes what we want doesn't line up very well with what God wants in a battle. We're tempted sometimes to give up, to quit, just to get tired of the struggle and just quit fighting it. Amen? Or sometimes we're just weary of the struggle. Tired of the effort that living this Christian life sometimes requires. But I want to encourage us this morning to keep striving and to keep pushing forward. Luke 13, chapter verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter, and shall not be able. And once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he'll say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. This is a question as Jesus was walking along. This is a question asked to Jesus by one of the disciples. Said, Lord, are there only a few that's going to be saved? And he didn't answer the question directly. He said this, strive to enter in, because there's going to be many that'll seek to enter in that aren't going to be able to. There's going to be many that miss it. And he said, once the master's got up and shut the door, there's no second chance. And he said, we'll say, man, we knew you, we ate with you, we seen you, you taught in our streets. And he said, I didn't know you. And the message in this is, strive to enter in. And that's what I want to enforce on us this morning. Strive to enter in. Another translation says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and not be able to. Maintaining your salvation requires effort and attention. Amen? Maintaining a real walk with God requires effort and attention. Sometimes it's difficult to stay faithful. Amen? Sometimes there's times in our Christian life that maintaining our Christian duties is a struggle. Amen? As wonderful as this is, and when we're together and your mind begins to dwell on the love of God and you're reminded of His goodness, your heart wells up in you. Right? And it seems like, man, this would be a breeze living for God. But when you get out in the daily walk of life and you're faced with situations and you're faced with frustrations and difficulties, it becomes a struggle sometimes to maintain that. And I want to remind you again in this that it's ones that stay faithful, that endure to the end, that are going to make heaven their home. Matthew 10:22 says, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. In another place, we're told to strive to enter in. 2 Peter 3:14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Another passage, another translation renders that, so then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, and he's talking about the coming kingdom and all that, he says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Be diligent. Make every effort. Amen? This Christian life is first and foremost about knowing God. It isn't about being religious. It isn't about certain do's and don'ts. Those things are secondary. There are do's and don'ts. Don't misread that. There are do's and don'ts. There are things that were, but that's primarily the heart of it is about knowing God. The heart of it is a relationship with God. Do you notice here in the 25th through 27th chapter or verse of this chapter we read, he said two or three times, I know you not. Whence you are? He said, I don't know you. It's primarily about knowing God. That's what's important. Not just being around, not being in services, not being religious. It's about knowing God. If we miss that, listen, if we miss knowing Him, we missed it all. Amen? If Jesus can't claim us as one of His own, then He knows us. We've missed it. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also been called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This struggle, many times, it's a struggle to maintain our faith. You know, Satan constantly wars to break our relationship of faith in God. That's most of his attacks, is to break our relationship of faith with him. What's faith? Well, faith is mentioned many times in the Bible, and sometimes it takes on a different connotation in the context that it's mentioned. But in faith, in regards to our relationship with God, faith is a belief and a confidence in God. But it's more than just a belief. Faith is also trust and hope. I mean, faith is not just believing God's word's true. The Bible tells us devils believe and they tremble, but not without a saving effect, right? But it's more than just believing. It is believing, but it's more than that. It also involves trust and hope. Faith is really our expression of our confidence in God's love and faithfulness. Faith is our expression of our confidence and assurance and belief in God's love and faithfulness. To a very large extent, then, our faith in God is our trust in God. I know it's not a perfectly the same, but very largely, faith is our trust in God. Our trust in God is founded in His love for us. I mean, anybody you trust, if you don't trust somebody you don't believe cares about you, right? The people you really trust in life, think about it, people you really trust, the ones you really trust are ones that you genuinely believe care about you, love you, right? It's the same. Our relationship with God's a real relationship, just like any other relationship. It's a real relationship. And that trust is as we perceive His love for us. As we perceive that God really cares about me, really does love me, our trust and our confidence and our faith is built in Him. Without a confidence of God's love, we really don't have faith. I mean, without some degree of confidence of God's love, we don't have faith. So Satan battles to break that relationship we have with God, right? I mean, he's constantly battling that. And a lot of the battle that he works on in that is breaking our faith and confidence in God. Your relationship with God requires that you spend time with God. Same as any other relationship. Relationships don't progress very fast if you don't spend time together, right? I mean, they don't. I have people that I grew up with. I mean, one guy in particular, we went everywhere together. I mean, there was a few of us, but we roomed in college together. He didn't own a car until I graduated from college. I mean, he was lived down the road, and he didn't buy a car until after I graduated. And I mean, we went everywhere. But, you know, our lives went separate ways after school. And I talked to him the other day, and it's probably the first time in probably 15 years that I'd talked to him. We don't have the relationship we once had. Amen? Even in relatives, the relationship isn't the same when you don't spend time together. And I said all that to say this. If you're going to have a strong relationship with God, you need to spend time with Him. It's from that relationship with God that we find strength in the times of struggles and battles. Because our strength is from Him. John 15 and 5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Our dependence for our strength and our help in these struggles. The strength of telling ourselves no at times. The strength to go on and do what we know we ought to do. That strength is found in Him. And it's found from our relationship with Him. Make your private time with the Lord a priority. Amen? Make your private time with God a priority. Especially your prayer time. You know, there may be the possibility that you don't have time to spend time in God's Word every day. Amen? That may be more periodic, one day a week or 2 days a week or something. But prayer must be daily. Amen. Listen to me. Without that, our spiritual life soon seeps out. Just like a branch, you go out here and if it's summertime and it's all full of leaves and full of sap and it's growing, you cut that branch off a tree and it's a very short amount of time and it withers up and dies. It doesn't have life in itself. Our spiritual life's the same way. This salvation wasn't something that we've been given and now it's ours. It's a connection to the vine and it's only as we stay connected that we maintain that spiritual life. I challenge you to find some time in your schedule that works to spend time with God, but don't give Satan a foothold that if it varies and something comes up and you can't, don't feel all condemned. Be flexible if your schedule changes. But find a lunch hour if you work. Find a drive time. Find morning or night, sometime when you have time, when you have a mind, amen, to be able to talk to God. Work to overcome the struggle. Learn to talk to God throughout the day. I tell you what, if you can find a time where you spend serious one-on-one time with God and then learn throughout all the day to be talking to Him. I mean, as things come up, as situations arise, when the phone rings, when you have to make a decision, carrying on a constant dialogue with God, saying, help me in this, give me wisdom here, amen? Learning to live with God. I mean, in one extent we live for God, but it ought to be much more an extent we live with God. Amen. Make attendance in the services a priority. Most of us have received major help in our life during service time. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is able to have our attention in a way that He sometimes don't have otherwise. He's able to make us face things that we maybe wouldn't take ourselves to otherwise. Preaching and teaching of God's Word to challenge us and instruct us. Testimonies and songs to stir our hearts up and strengthen us. Amen? Yes. So first of all, strive to enter in by maintaining your relationship with God. Secondly, strive to enter in by overcoming doubts and discouragement. There's times in our Christian life when our minds are flooded with doubts and discouragement. And when you're there, Satan's going to do his best to try and discourage you and to get you, as Brother Chris said, to simply give up and quit. Not because you don't want to make heaven your home, not because you have something against God necessarily. You're just tired of the struggle. Amen? Just tired of the battle. Well, I can tell you, Satan's going to be right there to flood your mind with all the reasons you should give up. Amen? And doubts. We all battle doubts. You hear me? Doubt is not unbelief. We all battle doubts. Doubts about whether we're saved or not. Doubts about whether we love God or not. Doubts about whether God loves us or not. Amen? We all battle doubts to one extent or another. And Satan intensifies those doubts when we're in difficult situations. Some of us are bent more one way and more the other, to doubt ourselves or doubt God. But Satan knows and he attacks that way. Amen? There's also struggles with temptations and feelings that create doubt and discouragement and despair. You know, temptation is not sin. Temptation is an urge within us to do something we know God would not approve of, or a temptation to not do something we feel God wants us to. And it's something within us that pulls. If there's no pull within it, ain't no temptation. Amen? Somebody offered me a cigarette, there ain't no temptation in it because I have no urge for it. Amen. There's other things that are temptations to me. Amen. But when you feel times of temptation, Satan worked to fill your mind with doubt. He'll work hard to try to get you to give up, saying either you didn't give it, or you lost it someplace, or you can't live it. He'll twist every circumstance of life to say that God isn't faithful or there's something wrong with you. I mean, every time we get in a difficulty or struggle, he'll twist it one way or the other. He'll say God ain't what he said he is, or there's something wrong with you, even God can't help you. He either accuses us or God. Amen? He'll say, if God loved you, this wouldn't have happened. Or if you was really saved, this wouldn't have happened to you. Amen? If you love God, you wouldn't feel this way. You can't live for God, or you don't love God. You aren't really saved. If God loved you, this wouldn't have happened. Every time we get something bad, we view it as a punishment from God. God doesn't really love you. God's hard and harsh, or God just plumb give up on you. Amen? Satan bombards us with those doubts. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ broke the power of Satan's accusations. Revelations 12 and 10, I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Before Jesus Christ came and fulfilled salvation, Satan had cause to accuse. Amen? Because salvation wasn't completed. Amen? There was a need for the justice of God to be satisfied. And Satan accused, but when Christ came and paid the price, that accusation was cast down. Romans 8:32, He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. It's because of Christ's sacrifice, because of his death, that we're justified. Not what we've done. Now, it is important how you live. But I'm going to tell you what, you stand before God on the merits of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and our true acceptance of it. You're saved by grace, Ephesians 2:8, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, or his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're saved through faith, amen, by grace. Grace is a gift. But it's by our faith, our confidence in that, that we're saved. Amen? Grace becomes effective by our faith. But we're saved to good works. And God ordained beforehand that we should walk therein. Amen? We need to be able to tell the difference between the accusations of Satan and real guilt. When you sin, after you've been saved, you're guilty before God. Come on. We need to know the difference between guilt and accusation. Satan, when he brings an accusation, brings a general sense of condemnation and despair. There's a sense of hopelessness, uselessness, unworthiness. I mean, it's a general sense. God brings conviction of sin and guilt. God points out what's wrong. If God's dealing with you, he wants you to know what's wrong because he wants you to take care of it and have it corrected. It isn't a sense of hopelessness, helplessness, uselessness, unworthiness. It isn't that general sense. That's how Satan brings accusation and condemnation. Guilt, God shows you what's wrong and what you need to fix. Amen? You know why? You know why God does that? Because God didn't come to condemn. He came to deliver and save. Amen? We're already condemned. John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? When God shows us what's wrong, it's so we can take care of it that we might be saved. Amen? You need no difference. Satan's going to bring accusations. Know the difference between accusation and guilt. If it's guilt and you're honest, God will show you what you need to know and how to take care of it. Remember, this is a struggle for your faith. Amen? Believe God. Trust Him. When Satan comes, remind yourselves of the truths that you know. There's a lot of times in life I can't figure out what's going on. The why question. Why did this happen? Why did it go this way? I don't know. Honest, I don't know. I can't figure out a good reason. I can't tell you what's in God's plan. But when I find myself in those situations, I fall back to this. These are truths that I know. God loves me. No matter whatever the situations are screaming, God loves me. God gave himself for me. God gave his life that I might be saved. Jesus gave his life. God wants me to be saved. God don't want me to be lost. God wants me to make heaven my home. And God's faithful. I don't have to know a lot of other things. There might be a lot of confusion. But I can maintain my faith in God by knowing these things. He loves me. He gave himself for me. He wants me to be saved, make it home to heaven. And he's faithful. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God didn't promise the Christian life would be easy. But he promised he'd go with us and give us everything that we needed. He said, Hebrews 13:5, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. God saved us, not to begin, but he saved us to bring us home to live with him forever. God wants your love and trust. Amen. God wants you to be saved. Salvation's the purpose of this entire created universe. It is. All the trouble God went to making the universe, making this earth, all of creation. The purpose in that was to gather to himself ones that would really see him as he was, love him, and spend all eternity with him. God knew everything was going to happen before he ever created. He knew about the fall of man. He knew about sin. But he also devised a perfect plan of salvation whereby he could gather to himself one who would truly love him. The purpose of all salvation, or all creation, is salvation. Knowing that, God wants you to be saved. Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn ye from ye evil ways. Why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's in the Old Testament. God pleading with them. At a time he's having to bring judgment on him. He said, I don't have no pleasure in this. I don't get no thrill out of this. I have no pleasure in this. Bringing condemnation. He said, turn, turn. That's what he wanted. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. 2 Peter 3:9, Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen? God wants you to be saved. God took the initiative. Brother Chad mentioned in Sunday school, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yet means, before creation ever began, Jesus Christ had already committed himself to become a human, to live this life, to be able to be a sacrifice for sin. Amen. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:9. And this was the love of God, and this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And God's promised to give us everything we need to make it home to heaven. Romans 8:32, he said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And I believe that means he'll give us everything we need to be able to make it home to heaven. Amen. We're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Philippians 2:13, it's God who worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. God's helping us. God will do everything that's morally permissible for him to do. Everything that's morally right. God will do everything that's morally right to help you make it home to heaven. Amen? In this battle, maintain your faith. And then, keep your conscience clean. Live above questionable things. You give Satan a foothold. We fool around with questionable things. We live sloppy. We give Satan a foothold in our life. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Hereby we know we're in the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence toward God." Yeah. Keep your conscience clean. Don't live to please the preacher, please other people that are Christians. Now you take that into account and regulating your life. But just because they say it's okay, don't mean it's okay for you. Do you hear me? Do what you know to do. Do what you know pleases God. Amen? Go the extra mile. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Amen? Purpose to be wholehearted. Don't try and get as much of the world as you can to try and stay saved. Just purpose to be all out for God and trust God to bless you with what he's able to bless you with. Keep a tender heart. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Take care of things when God speaks to you. Hey, if God brings something to your attention that needs correcting in your life, take care of it. Don't stay there. Amen? And then finally, in this battle, striving to enter in, I'm glad that our God's the God of second chances. Amen. Our God's merciful. My little children, 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If you fail, go to God. Take care of it as soon as it comes to your mind. Seek forgiveness. Repent. Not just out of fear of punishment, but out of the hurt of disappointing one we love. Amen? Turn from it. Don't ever fall in the trap of saying, "Well, I can do this because God will forgive me." Man, I tell you what, you talk about a trap that sucks people in. You use the forgiveness of God for license to sin. You are in a dangerous spot. Amen? Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, if we do fail, God does forgive fully. When God forgives fully, he restores fully. Amen? Remember the prodigal son? He didn't come back as a servant, he came back as a son. Amen? God wants you to be saved. God's patient with us in our struggles. He said, "A bruised reed he'll not break, and a smoking flax he'll not quench." Strive to enter in. Life is tough sometimes. The Christian life is tough sometimes. It requires effort, diligent effort at times, to maintain our relationship with God and make heaven our home. Hebrews 10:35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward." It says, don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody in the long run going to be the loser for trusting God. It may cost you in the short run. It is true. It may cost you in the short run. Being faithful to God may cost you at times. You may suffer one way or the other for following God. But in the long run, I'm going to tell you something. The very best life you can possibly have is right in the middle of God's will. It can't be any better than that. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will strive to enter in and shall not be able. I want to encourage you. I don't know if I did that or not. I want to encourage you. Don't give up the fight. We grow weary. We grow battle weary sometimes. And it looks so appealing just to be done with the fight. But I'm going to tell you something. The fight don't go away. It just changes courses. Jesus said, "My yoke's easy. My burden's light." I tell you who has it tough in this world is ones who don't know God. That's who has it tough. We may think at times this Christian life's a struggle, and I'm giving you that. Sometimes it is. But the real struggle in life is life without God. That's when life's really difficult. Amen? His yoke's easy. But I want to encourage you, strive to enter in. Maintain your relationship with God. Maintain your faith. Maintain your commitment to God. Because it will be rewarded. Amen? Amen. May God help you. As you stand, just sing a verse of song in closing, Brother Chad. Heavenly Father.